13 today. We're going to look at them in a different way than I normally do. I'm not going to go through and break the verse down or study the verses per se, but we're going to pull from the context and the concept of what these verses imply today as we speak on the importance, as we learn together the importance of being a chosen servant. And so out of reverence for God's word, if you would stand and follow along as I read. 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, what an important task that you have bestowed upon the church. An office elected by your people to serve. Father, an office in which we should not take for granted, no one should take for granted, man, woman, boy, or girl. And so, Father, I pray today as we study through the importance of the qualifications of what deems a man holy and godly in your sight. Father, may we learn, may we glean, and may we apply your word to our hearts today. In your glorious name, I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Next week will be Youth Sunday, as was mentioned already today, and we are going to allow that to be Nominating Sunday, but since that's the youth's day, we don't want to take away from their service. So I need you to continually be in prayer up until November the 25th, and we're going to allow that Sunday to be our nominating day. November the 25th will be the day in which you will nominate your men to serve here at the church. And then the following week, which will be December the 1st, we will present those nominations for you to vote. And we will vote on those on the 8th of December. So we have some time between now and then, but that just means you have more time to pray about who you would allow, or who God would allow you, rather, to select. And so today I feel it's very important that we go back and we look at the qualifications. Not that you never learned them. Not that you ever saw that they were not important to apply to your life, because the qualifications of a deacon are really the qualifications in which we really all should apply to our lives. But these are qualifications that are set forth where a man must be able to fulfill in order to serve his church. In the scriptures itself, as we have already read, and you can go and read in Acts chapter 6, these very same scriptures, that God ordained the office of deacon. His main point of ordaining men, he led men to ordain men. His main purpose was so that the body of Christ could function as God intended it to. Not so that the body of Christ could function as those elected men have chosen it to function, but how God has elected the church to function. The qualifications of a deacon are not to be taken lightly. The qualifications are very similar to that of a bishop, very similar to that of a pastor, an overseer. If you were to go and look in 1 Timothy 3, you can look at the very first few verses, and it speaks of the overseer, speaks of the bishop, and the role in which he is to demonstrate, and the life that he is to live. The office of deacon also carries great responsibility. You know, being in a smaller church, it's easy to know every individual here, but in a larger church, it's not always the same. So we do tend to know most of the people here. We know them at home, we know them at church, and we know how they live outside of the church. But you should know that it carries great responsibility. It's not just something that you want to be a part of just so you can say that, hey, I'm a deacon. It's nothing to do with that. It's a responsibility that has been given to you. You're a chosen one. If the people of God see to elect you, do not take it lightly that you should serve. You should find it to be a reward, that people see the life that you live as a godly and holy life. An elected deacon should also support the vision of the ministry of the church in which he serves here at Sand Hill. And not only serve the church, but always remembering to serve Christ and the body of Christ. I encourage you to go back through the course of this week and read 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. And I would like for you to look at those verses and compare them to the verses that we're studying today. There's a very important word that verse 8 opens up with, and that word is likewise. So it's saying likewise deacons must be reverent. So if you go back and look at verses 1 through 7, the likewise is comparing the qualifications of a deacon to the verses prior to. It's a very key word. It links the qualifications of a pastor and it links the qualifications of a deacon together. The word likewise. The word deacon, as written by the Greek, is pronounced diakonos, or a body of diaconate. But the diakonos, the deacon, the meaning of that word is to serve. And who better to give us the example of what service is and how it should be done and performed than Jesus Christ himself? He says in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto or to serve, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That was Jesus' goal. He came here to teach how to serve. He found faithful men to serve him so that they could then go out and teach others the importance of service. The qualifications are plainly stated in what we've read today. There's no way that you can go back and look at those sentences there, those verses there, and misconstrue what's being said. It is in black and white. It's plain and it's simple. And it tells you, it tells me, the life that a man of God must be living to serve as a deacon. Paul felt the role of a deacon was to be responsible for ministering to the physical and the material needs of the congregation. When the first churches were established, Paul was overwhelmed. Those who were by his side were overwhelmed with so much ministry work that they had to do. They needed help. And so God laid it upon Paul and them to realize that they need to go out and find some godly men who can help him in his ministry. And this was one important way that those deacons helped. They helped by serving their shepherd and by serving the people. Pastor and the deacon are a body together that should work closely together, meeting all needs of the church and outside of the church walls. And I will say that in my time here at Sand Hill, there's not one deacon that I've served with that we did not get along, that we did not see eye to eye on God's holy and infallible word. And that's important. And not only is that important for those deacons, but it also shows that you, the people, have seen the type of godly men that can serve you and serve God. That's important. You cannot have a dysfunctioning group of men serving as deacons and have a spiritually led and driven church that cannot exist together. But just as important as the pastor and the deacons should work together, I hope that we all find ourselves full of the faith, so that we can do great things here at Sand Hill and out within our community. So today I want to go over the 10 significant qualifications that a man of God, as seen by his peers, as seen by the congregation from within the church, should possess. And we're going to run through these 10. We could delve into these 10 and we could spend an ample amount of time on each one, but I just want to go over them today and put them in our terms and what it means for us today. And the first one being respected and proven. Now, all of these qualifications that I'm going over with you comes directly from 3 through 8. These aren't my qualifications. These are the qualifications that's already been set forth. It is in God's holy word. And the first one is respected and proven. It says a deacon should be a man who takes seriously his responsibility and duties. He should be a man of good report in both the church and the community. That is very important. Inside the church walls and in how he conducts himself when his church folks aren't around. Very important. a man who is already active and participating in the ministries of the church. This too is very important. Already active and participating in. Not hoping to become active, but already proven himself. Second, Spirit-filled. A man whose life and actions are motivated by the Holy Spirit on a consistent basis. That word consistent is very important. Not just when it's convenient. Not a convenient basis, but motivated by the Holy Spirit consistently, day in and day out. That their mind, their heart is aligned with the thinking of God. Not as knowledgeable as God, that's not what I'm saying. But the thinking should be in line with the will of God and what he has for you each and every day. No matter where you go, a man who is having a daily walk with the Lord. Therefore, all deacons should be or be willing to be trained to be personal soul winners. Now, that is one difference between the overseer, the bishop, or the pastor and a deacon. A deacon's responsibility is not that he should teach or that he should preach. That is the one difference between the pastor and the deacon. The deacon's responsibility is to serve, not mandatory that he preach or mandatory that he teach, but he serve. The deacon also, unless providentially hindered, should agree to support the visitation and the outreach program within the church and be involved in the evangelism of the lost here within the church and within the community. Being able to, willing to visit and go see the sick, the shut-ins, and then those members who are indifferent, those members who have unfortunately butted heads or have caused heartache one with another for whatever reason may be. Spirit-filled man. Thirdly, servant. They should be willing to assist the pastor in ministries so that the pastor can freely give himself to prayer and preaching the word. That's something else that's very important, that we always have deacons here who support the pastor. If the deacons can't support the pastor, it's not going to work. And I know that you all have been in church long enough to know that. Now, these things that I'm saying to you today, I'm saying to you because we need to understand the importance of how these two function together. The deacon, the pastor, and then you, the people, the body of Christ, the body of the church. A deacon should recognize the God-given spiritual leadership that is incumbent upon the office of being a shepherd of the church, to seek and serve under the leadership and support him fully. And once again, the men that y'all have elected in my time here, they support me fully. They've never shown me that they don't support me, and I support them. Fourth, very important, is that they're doctrinally sound. Very important. If you see that this man is doctrinally sound and they present themselves in this way, then that's what we need to recognize. But however, we also must not be mistaken that if they're not doctrinally sound, we cannot allow those types of things to infiltrate the deacon board, the deacon body. We can't allow those things to infiltrate the church. And what do I mean by doctrinally sound? It's a man who can explain that what he believes from the scripture and that he knows how to introduce people to Jesus Christ. He should believe the inspiration of the Bible. He should believe that the entire Bible is God's holy and infallible word, not pick and choose what applies to his life. He should therefore believe in such doctrines as hell. Hell exists. Heaven exists. The virgin birth, the blood atonement of Jesus, the bodily resurrection, and then gloriously his second coming. And the ultimate doctrinal belief for us here today, for all people, we should always know that there's only one way to the cross. There's only one way to the Father, and that is by his Son. Fifth, is a husband of one wife, a man who is a loyal husband living in a pure marriage relationship without adulterous relationships or attitudes. If a man is unmarried, he must be living a lifestyle of celibacy. It is generally accepted in our Baptist churches, our practices, that a man who has two living wives should not be selected as a deacon. Likewise, a man whose wife has been previously divorced should not be selected. Very often, this excludes from the office a good, a faithful, a godly man who has proved himself before the church. However, this doesn't mean that this man still cannot serve God's people. This doesn't mean that this man cannot still serve anywhere that they go. They just are not elected as a deacon. Now, I want you to listen to this next one. I'm speaking on the qualifications of a deacon. But this one here is so very important for all of us to take a life's lesson from. Not double-tongued. A man who does not say one thing to one person and something different to another. A man who does not enter into the church to cause trouble. A man who doesn't go from one area to another to stir the pot. If there's issues, it needs to be dealt with. Man to man, godly man to godly man. It cannot be a man who talks out both sides of his mouth. Double-tongued. One who is truthful and consistent. A man that will strive to dispel murmuring. Listen to this. A man that will strive to dispel murmuring and complaining by members, facing the individuals frankly, meaning up front with, and dealing with them fairly, whether it's in an uncomfortable position or not. As a man of God, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to handle it frankly, to be up front, and to handle the situation with love and compassion. But do not be double-tongued. Do not condone murmuring and complaining amongst members. Number 7, not addicted to wine. A man who is committed to the concept of total abstinence from the use of alcohol, other drugs, and other harmful practices. For this might defile the temple of the living God. That's something that I think we all forget, myself included, that what we have here has been given us by God. And that we, as a child of God, have allowed our bodies become a temple unto God because He has ordained it to be because of your profession and faith to who He is. This is done out of the desire to be positive witness. This is something else that's important. Now, I'm not saying if you take a sip of that wine or that alcohol or participate in that one drug, it's not going to send you to hell. But here's the pitfall with alcohol and drugs, substance abuse. Here's the pitfall. We live in a society where it's a pervasive problem, where so many lives are affected by these situations, alcohol and drug use. We see it in our teens, in our young adults who've lost their lives because of this. And so therefore, as churchgoers, as parents, as believers in Christ, we should abstain from, because we don't want what we have partaken of to influence our family, those around us. It's an abuse upon our society, and a man of God must not be a part of it, because if you're a part of it, you're causing yourself to be the stumbling block who could maybe keep an individual from entering the kingdom of God because they see that, well, it's okay. Michael goes to church. He's a Christian. He's drinking. I see him use recreational drugs occasionally. It must be okay. Why do I have to have Jesus? I can do that without having to worry about Jesus. So it's important that we abstain from, completely walking away from. We don't want to be that stumbling block. This is to the men of the church today as I speak of the qualification of the deacon, but this is to all of God's children. Number 8, not pursuing dishonest gain. A man who is not employed in illegal or immoral work, and who is not deceitful in a legitimate profession. Number 9, free from the love of money. He should not be materialistic or greedy. That's plain and simple. Those two are simple to explain. Not pursuing dishonest gain means working and doing what is right, doing what is just, and then being free from the love of money, meaning that you should not hope to have so much that that's all you care about and you don't worry about God any longer. All you want to do is build up your bank account. You can't be materialistic, nor should you be greedy. And then number 9, manages his household well. To be honest with you today, and even prior to even becoming a deacon in 2012 at Oakhurst, this was always the one that was my pitfall. This was my thorn in my side, and it still is. This is a difficult one to do for me. It may be easy for you, but it is a difficult task for me to manage the household well. It says a man who has a well-ordered home where the husband is leading his family spiritually and meeting their emotional and spiritual needs to the best of his ability that God has given him. Now, this is the one thing that hurts us, men. Striving for the perfect family. We're not going to obtain the perfect family. We're not going to raise the perfect children. We're not going to have the perfect wife, or the wife is not going to have the perfect husband. But what we should strive for is to teach and to show and to love men the importance of spiritual guidance within the home, and why you put God first before family, and why you put God first before anything else outside of family. It's important. Our children are going to grow up and make mistakes. They're going to do something probably wrong tomorrow at school, where we may get a phone call because they were misbehaving. But that doesn't mean you're failing. That just means life. But men, I encourage you to make sure you put forth a valiant effort to be a spiritual leader for your spouse and your children, your family. Not condemning and ridiculing because they don't see the importance of coming and being at church, but just tell them the whys, the reasons of why you feel the need to be in God's house, why you see the need to read His Word, why you see the need to take time in your day to devote it to God for what He has done in your own life, how He's blessed you with a beautiful family. In closing, I want us to look at verse 13 once again. Let's read that together, or follow along rather as I read verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now within this verse here, the highlight of this verse, I guess I'd say, is simply this. The importance of the office of the deacon is given to us in the results of good service, his role as a servant. All of God's words are very important in any verse that you read, in any part of the scriptures that you study. But the key concepts here within this verse is the word good degree or good standing. And this simply means appreciation. An appreciation from the church to those who have already served. And we all want to feel appreciated. We all want to know that we're wanted and we're welcomed and we're loved. That's human nature. But when people within the church see you living the life for Christ, and they are able to appreciate your goodness through God, it is a good thing to be found in good standing. Another key concept here is great boldness. This phrase here, I love the word bold when used in the scripture, to have great boldness for Christ. This phrase alludes to the increase in confidence in their personal walk and in their growth. Something else that's very important. Maybe as an individual has had their eye on you, because maybe God has put it on their heart to watch over you, to pray over you without you even knowing it. And they see your Christian walk over time grow and mature. And they see your boldness for Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is, I guess I'll say, some of the flesh speaking. But I'll never forget the feeling that I had within my heart when the chairman of deacons at Oakhurst came to me in the fall of 2012 and said, you've been nominated by the church to serve as a deacon. Are you willing? And I will use the word flattered, because at that time when I was there, there were three men of God who sat in that sanctuary under the shepherding of Preacher John Rogers. And there were others in that church who looked at me and they felt that I would be worthy of the call to serve. And I remember the humbled feeling it was to know that people saw me trying to be faithful. I wasn't trying to be faithful so I could become a deacon. I was trying to serve and become faithful so I could please my Heavenly Father. And so I encourage you men here today, make sure that your only concern is to be obedient to God's Word, that you are serving Him. And then if others see that you have become bold in your faith and they see it worthy to nominate you to serve here within the church, take hold to that claim. The only way that this can be obtained is serving and seeing the truths of the gospel, proving within God's ministry within your life and how you serve and how you conduct yourselves. I want to read something to you to leave upon your minds before we dismiss today. I want you to listen. I'll most likely read it twice. A man can't be elected a deacon in hopes of becoming faithful. A man is elected because he is faithful, because he is proven, because his life already exemplifies his faithfulness in Christ. A man can't be elected a deacon in hopes of becoming faithful. Remember that. The faithfulness has to already be there. An elected deacon should be able to declare from Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. I pray that this verse will permeate your heart now, will permeate your heart throughout the course of this week, will permeate your heart as you pray to God to guide your thoughts, as you select men to serve you here at Sand Hill Baptist Church. Chosen to serve. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you for this day, God, and we thank you for the many blessings of life. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people and to preach your word today, God. And Father, I pray that your word never falls upon a deaf ear. God, that your word will always infiltrate the hearts of these men, women, boys, and girls here today, Father. And if there's one individual here today, God, who has not come to know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, may today be the day. But God, as we see the men here at this church, God, many men here today, Father, I pray that they too will begin to pray for what you will have them do. Father, who you'll have them select. And God, may we always be found with great boldness to serve you, no matter who we are. The most important thing of all, that we are a child of the one true King, and we're all capable of serving. May you give us that boldness, God, to serve you with gladness. All of these things I do pray in your wonderful and majestical name. Amen.
Hymn number 302, I hear thy word.